I always like to start with the eights because they're the first in this triad, and I believe in building a house from the foundation up. And eight energy is initiating energy. It starts things, gets things going, says, let's go, right? But the essence of eight, the spiritual core of eight, is like the strength, vividness, realness of presence, of being, of life, the immediacy, what Eckhart Tolle called the power of now, not the niceness of now. It's like, if you really have an encounter with spirit, it's not pastel and wimpy. You know, it's powerful, it's alive, it's real, it's vivid. How many eights do we have in the house? Who identifies with point eight? You understand what I'm talking about? Like, if you're an eight, that's what you live for. Things to be real, right? To be immediate, true, vivid, like you could sink your teeth into it, like your toes in the mud, right? It's like that sense of realness, aliveness, and that is a natural capacity, gift of the soul when we're present. We're at one with the aliveness, realness, vividness of the universe. And to lose that, let your heart feel how much that would hurt. What it would feel to lose the sense of being real, alive, true, strong, full. It's like suddenly we feel deflated and we feel dead. The loss of this particular quality makes our soul feel like it's dead inside. And we don't like that much. And if you're an eight, this is like your biggest wound. It's your biggest suffering. And that terrible loss, this sense of powerlessness, deadness, inner inertness, we can't bear it. So the suffering, this core suffering of that is the passion itself, the suffering, this loss of the aliveness. The symptom of it is lust as an addiction to intensity. Like, I'm gonna turn things up a tad. I'm gonna push things a little bit. I'm gonna make it happen. I'm just gonna, like I'm walking uphill all the time, right? Through my body's tension and through breathing and through kind of inner exertion, things will feel real again. If I'm an eight, I'm doing that most of the time, using more energy than I really need to, and it kind of burns me out over time too, truth be told. I'm sure a lot of eights could testify to that. And I do it because I believe this is the way back to what I love, the part of God that's like my corner of the divine kingdom, right? And I miss it and I can't bear it, but my ego doesn't know how to get there. Without presence, it's not possible to get back. The ego cannot get back. But it tries. We give it an A for effort. We don't need to beat ourselves up about it. It's very logical that a little kid would do this. It's very logical that a soul would do this. But we can become wise. And we can learn that the real strength of which I'm teaching, of which I'm speaking, always comes with a breathtaking vulnerability. Because real aliveness is to be affected by everything. You see, we put on armor in our different ways, and if you're eight, you're good at it, because we felt too hurt, too vulnerable, too overwhelmed, and we felt like we lost what could protect us in the midst of all this, the part of the divine presence that feels like our strength and our energy and our self-protection. So the ego tries to figure out how to do this by being tough, by being hard, by not letting things get to me. But that strands me, alienates me from what I love the most. So the journey back to this real strength always entails letting my heart being affected again. And heaven knows, all my beloved eights, I know how scared and rejected you can feel, all right? But to just be with that is what invites the real strength. Do you understand me? And I bet you've experienced it and know exactly what I'm talking about. The more an eight continues in that vein, opening to that grace, being willing to be with that vulnerability, the virtue of the eight starts to manifest. For me, the virtues are not givens. Like the essential part is a grace. It's a freebie. You can be going around completely out to lunch and you just breathe a little bit and suddenly there's that real strength to help you out when you most need it. Virtues are the cultivation in a person who has continuously oriented their heart towards the truth. It's what's cultivated in us. It's not something we cultivate. You can't just decide, gee, I'm going to go be virtuous. It doesn't work that way. But if we keep our heart oriented in the right way, we stay present, we're willing to feel that passion in us, the passion begins to burn. This was Gurdjieff's second shock. There's a fire in our heart, and it's true for all the types. It starts to burn, literally. It's like a searing sword has been put right into your chest. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You stay with that. And what arises is the virtue, which has been called by Oscar Chazo innocence, which I think is a beautiful expression. But some of you may have read the article that Don and I wrote in Radical Grace a couple months back. We also would suggest another good traditional Christian word here that goes here is mercy. Show me an awakened eight. I will show you an incredible heart of mercy. In the deepest sense of that word, to be powerful, strong, and merciful, you know, like a true king or queen. And that's the journey you're here to take if you're an eight. Everything else just details, right? But that's the core of what it's about for you. And as long as you shall live, it will be about you remembering where the real strength comes from, restoring the heart of tenderness, which we know you have. You're not fooling anybody, by the way. We know, the rest of us. And letting this mercy be cultivated in you. That's your spiritual journey. That's what God wants for you. I have to be quiet a second. I just got taken by a holy idea. Sometimes things come to a stop. What I want people to understand is that the Enneagram, rightly understood, is not just a typology. It's an invitation to the remembrance of grace, but it's very specific in what will help us do that. It's very specific in seeing how brilliantly we pull the wool over our own eyes, but that we also know what the deeper truth is. One of the amazing things I experience over and over when I teach this is that it's never like people are shocked, like, oh my God. It's like, no, it's like, I know exactly what you mean, because we all know what this is. We remember it together. And if, again, I feel like I'm in a place where I can talk about God, this is fun.